We're joined in studio by a young man all the way from the dusty townships of Soweto. He is an entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and author, and he is also moving into this media space. He's been on different media platforms. He's been on Power FM. I'm not, shame.
BA time.
No, I'm just trying to show that the person who's in studio with us this afternoon is endorsing our brand too. So in as much
as he's been on commercial radio stations, several of them, he's been on lots of national radio stations.
All right.
And even
private radio stations that are commercial. Mm. Commercial radio stations like Kaya. He's been on UNISA. He's been on different publications, and we won't name them. Liz Yena has a heart attack and gives
Having a myocardial infarction here.
All right. He's a very young man. He's 24 years old, and his name is Busiso Joshua Molimi, right? And we're going to be celebrating him this afternoon, and we're going to be getting up close and personal with him. Busiso, welcome and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Wow, you've got that radio voice.
I was going to say, Busiso is one of those guys you don't want them to come on air because
again,
you should be swapping mics.
I know. At 24 years, Busiso, you are a motivational speaker, you are an author, and you are an entrepreneur. How does one get there at 24? Who do you know?
I think it's about, firstly, your environment. Your environment plays a big role in the things that you think about and eventually the results that you get. If you are in an environment where people are constantly striving for the best, you'll be challenged to strive for the best. If you're in an environment of achievers, you'll be challenged to also want to be an achiever. So you don't want to get left behind. And the reason why I'm speaking about environment is because the high school that I went to, it was a very beautiful school, which provided us with so many opportunities, but also challenged us to get out of our comfort zone, gave us platforms to be able to expose our talents and the gifts that we had been given. So public speaking being one of them. Now I hope you can see where the link is coming in, you know, with motivational speaking, with now becoming an author and an entrepreneur. It started back in high school, where I was then given the opportunity to get into public speaking, which is apparently the number one fear in the world, and the second being death. So therefore, at a funeral, people would rather be in the casket than then making your eulogy. So it's really, really something that people fear. And then got into public speaking, and my high school teacher said, this is something that can take you far. I was like, nah, I don't know. I just talk too much. There's a difference between someone who talks a lot and someone who's really good at public speaking. So my teacher saw something in me which I didn't see in myself. And at times people will see things in you which you don't see in yourself, and don't take them for granted. So make sure that you believe in yourself and you keep on going. And so for the last 6.5 years, I've had to make sure that I surround myself with authors, motivational speakers, and entrepreneurs, and do the things that they do, which sets them apart. And that's how I got to where I am today.
I love what you're saying. I just always say mannerism rub off. They always do.
Yeah.
But, Sbu, before you go any further, can you take us back to how does a person, because a typical township boy like yourself doesn't get to the school that you went to. How did you get there?
And which school was this? We're talking about school. Hey, was this Hilton? Is this
No. I started off my schooling journey at a school called Diti Liwayo by the towers there in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And the pastor at my mom's church, her daughters went to a school called Vuleka in North Riding, and said to my mom, you should take your son there. It's a brilliant school. And it was indeed a brilliant school. It is indeed a brilliant school. So I went there from grade 2 up until grade 4. And when I was 9 years old, I got my first bursary to go to a school called St. Peter's Prep. This was a bursary by the Laurie Dippener Foundation. So I went to St. Peter's Prep from grade 4 up until grade 7. And then in 2002, I got my second bursary to go to St. Albans College.
Where is St. Albans College?
Pretoria.
This is where then you found this teacher who believed in you.
Yeah.
So who are your mentors? Who do you look up to?
My goodness. That's a very good question. My mentors, I've got about five mentors, and all of them are mentors for different aspects of my life. So there's Chris and Suzanne Stiles, who are my mentors when it comes to, you know, motivational speaking. They actually took me underneath their wings when I was in first year of university. I didn't know what to do. I was entering these competitions. I wasn't quite sure. And they truly believed in me. So thank you to them. There's also Mary Frile Lehobe, who is my mentor when it comes to branding, because branding is so important as an entrepreneur. And she's done an amazing job. If you look at my pictures when I was in my first year and 5 years down the line, it's like, you know, I was wearing suits. Oh, no, I wasn't wearing suits. Like, the suits were wearing me.
Yeah.
And now I'm wearing the suits, you know. So she looked after my branding. And there's also a DJ Spoo as well when it comes to business and personal life. And, yeah.
You referred to the word environment. I'd like you to share with us what your environment was like. Not your professional environment, but your environment in your primary environment, your family. Let's share with us. Describe it.
Yeah, family.
Paint a picture of that.
Yeah, family. Family plays such an important role, or has, and still is playing an important role in the man that I am today. So at home, education was non-negotiable. Going to school and doing well was non-negotiable. So it was that environment where we valued education, and it was an environment where my granny, I call her like a Gogo celebrity because everyone knew her. And, you know, she was a blessing to so many people because she was involved in so many projects. So the values at home were, we are blessed to be a blessing and education is very important. And that's the environment that was there.
So who was in your life growing up?
Growing up, it was my mom, my late mom. It was my sister. It was my granny. It was my aunt. It was my uncle. It was my cousin. It was like six of us.
Okay. Any male figures?
Yeah, my uncle and my cousin.
And what were the defining moments in your life?
Defining moments? I think the bursary to St. Peter's Prep was a defining moment. It just opened up my eyes to a whole new world. These cars that I used to see on TV and used to admire, now I'd go to school and my friend's dad would just be driving that car. I would go to my friend's house and that car would just be parking in the garage. So that's why I speak about the importance of environment. What you see affects your thinking, which then affects the way you feel, the way you behave, and you get inspired and you get empowered to one day say, hey, I've seen this, I can actually attain it one day.
And I think I'd like to take you back to your environment, because we celebrate in what is, but we also celebrate the times that you have conquered, the hurdles that you've had to jump for you to come to where you are. Now, if you had not conquered those hurdles, would not be celebrating now and today, because that was handed on down to you on a silver plate. Now, I'd like you to paint that picture of some of the things that you yourself, as a young black male coming from town, from Soweto, has had to jump. What are some of those loops? You know, I'll give you an example.
To
myself.
Break through the walls,
yes.
The barriers.
Maybe you never had barriers, but we still find barriers in our careers today. And we consider those barriers as the things that make us and the things that are making us either better people or even...
Bitter people.
Yeah, bitter or dysfunctional people.
Yeah.
So in your life, what are some of those things that you've had to overcome? Because I think when we celebrate people, sometimes we overemphasize on the glamorous part and on the glory part, but we forget that it was a destination that they got to. It was a process. And I think I like celebrating the processes rather than the final products.
Yeah, very powerful. I always say there can never be success without struggle. There can never be trials, or rather, you know, triumphs without trials and tribulations. It doesn't happen. So for me, yeah, the environment that I went into, one of the barriers which I was homesick for quite some time. I missed home. I wanted to spend a lot of time with mom and dad. But then I got used to it. The big, big one for me was in my matric year in high school, when I was just about to write my final exams, and my late mom, I got a call that she had suffered a stroke. Now, this was someone that was really, really close to me and has been really, really supportive. All the time, you know, always wanted the best for me. She was really close to my heart. And a lot of the things that I did for her because I wanted to make her proud. And she was like my PR lady, which I never paid, because everywhere she went, she told people about me. You know that mom that just tells everyone to I lom danamlo. And they want the best for you. So, and every time people see you, they're like, ah, yeah, are you supposed to? And you're like, but how do you know? It's like, no, your mom told us about you. Anyway, My mom suffered a stroke just as I was about to write my matric results, now my matric finals. At that time, I didn't have a bursary. I didn't know what I was going to do after matric. I didn't know whether I'd still be able to go to the University of Pretoria to further my education. My parents didn't have the money to take me to university. It was a tough time because here I am trying to study, but I'm thinking about my mom all the time. And is she fine? I am about 2 hours away from home, so I can't see as much as I want to. I'm just getting calls.
So you're in a boarding school?
I'm in a boarding school, yeah. Yeah, and the most painful thing is I can't speak to her. People have got to send messages to her to say, this is what your son is saying. Because now she suffered a stroke and she's struggling to speak. She can barely say anything to
me. And what kept you going?
What kept me going was the people around me. My teachers, my friends, who kept on supporting me and said, it's fine. Everything will be all right. Family as well. That everything's going to be fine. And prayer as well. That kept me going. That's it.
And where is your father in this picture?
My dad was there, here and there. I never really used to see him. And funny enough, so before my mom passed away, she passed away 2 years ago after she had suffered a second stroke. My dad was in my life, but he wasn't like really, really involved. Like I knew him and I would see him once in a while when he came over.
Okay.
Now I'm staying with my dad and my dad's like my best friend.
Okay.
Not like my best friend. He's me and my dad, we're boys.
We're
boys.
So here you are today. You are somebody that has had to overcome death. That is somebody who you are somebody that has had to deal with a bit of abandonment. You're somebody that has had to deal with a bit of rejection, with a bit of failure, and a bit of disappointment.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes before the hour 5, and we're going to continue the conversation after the musical break. Do not touch that dial.
Ungizungezile by Khaya Mthethwa, and the time is 12 minutes before the 1700 hour, and you are on Radio Veritas, the station that gives you the good music and good news for a change.
We are joined in studio by Sibusiso Joshua Molimi, and he's an author, motivational speaker, entrepreneur. He's so many things. He's just recently graduated from Tax, and he is the man that we celebrate in this afternoon. I would like us to get into your book. You recently published a book. Is it recently or...
Yeah, I think it's a year anniversary now.
All right. You published a book with the title Work Through the Barriers to Success.
Yeah.
Take us. What made you write that book?
Many reasons. One of them, because I'm a businessman. It's a product. Got to make some money.
I like the honesty.
But the big why is... I would go and I would give talks at schools and conferences and seminars, and I would ask people what's stopping them from moving to the next level in their life. And people would tell me what their barriers were. And after doing a lot of research and observation and interviews, I came up with these 5 barriers, and I came up with solutions to these 5 barriers. So I'll quickly touch on the barriers. Number one was many people don't know what they want, but they know what they don't want. So therefore, they focus on what they don't want. They don't have a vision for their life. And so if you don't know what you want, you'll fall into somebody else's plan.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
That's the first barrier. Like, you just don't know what you want. And if you do know what you want, it's not very clear. Clarity cuts confusion. You're confused because you're not clear on what you want. You don't go to McDonald's. I'm thinking about McDonald's, and I myself had McDonald's for lunch today.
We don't eat McDonald's.
I didn't say that. you don't go to McDonald's and say, I want a burger. They're going to ask you, what burger? You're going to say, I want a Big Mac. They're going to ask you,
How do you want
your Big Mac?
Yeah.
You know, so we are so, you know, you get to McDonald's. I, for example, will get there and say, I want a Big Mac meal super size with large chips, and I'll make sure it's a Coke with no ice. So I'm very specific. I don't confuse the person who's behind. They know exactly what to get me. And so that's how we need to be with our dreams. The second one, the barrier is many people are their own biggest enemies because they're constantly beating themselves up. I'm not good enough.
Yes.
You know, and they're past. And this one is so,
No matter why. Why do we do that?
We do that because we do that because we are in comparison with other people, number one. We do that because we don't understand that all, even millionaires or billionaires are under construction. It's under construction. So the barrier that I found was too many people are their own biggest enemy. I'm not good enough. You know, but the teacher said this about me and this and this and this. The old African proverb says, if there is no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm. So we need to make sure that we are our own biggest supporters and also our own biggest critics. Not to say we're going to close off and not listen to what other people are saying about us, but to say, hey, man, my goodness, I've actually overcome this. I'm not that bad. Mm-hmm. I'm still under construction. I'm working my way. And so even if I come to you and I say, oh my goodness, Yena, you are beautiful. You are gorgeous. Already in your mind, you've made up that you're not. So you can say to somebody, hey, you are this. And they're like, oh yeah, okay, okay, whatever. You are your own biggest enemy. The third one is opinions of other people.
They call it the BAS syndrome. Bazotini Abantu syndrome. Bahlaring
Abantu syndrome. Bahlaring. What? This is funny.
Yeah.
You do something, they say something. You don't do something, they say something.
Isn't it amazing how we become slaves to people?
And societal teachings, though.
Because of you can't even wear your jeans because Mang Mang is going to say it's the wrong color, and you wear these jeans, Mang Mang thinks they're too tight or they're too baggy, they're too loose, you know.
So your teacher might have told you that you're not good enough. You went for an interview and the people said, no, you don't have the voice for radio. DJ Spoo, right now, who's got his own radio station, was told that he doesn't have a voice for radio. But his voice, like he's got that voice that just chases people away. Mm. And so one may be saying, yeah, but Spoo, I hear what you're saying. How do I overcome that?
Mm.
My friends have been saying I'm not good enough, or I'm not good enough, or my teacher says I'm not good enough. How do I overcome that? And for me, how I overcame that was I made a decision.
Okay.
And the decision was, the only thing that I'm going to believe is what God says about me. That's it.
Wow.
Just like that.
That's it. God says I'm a conqueror. I'm a conqueror. So you can say as many times that I'm a failure. That's just your opinion. That's your view. That's the way you see it. But that's who I am.
So what you're saying is people have opinions about us, and some of them we get to hear about them.
Yeah.
Or we get to experience them.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we buy into them and believe them. So people say, you duck like me. You know? No, you know, there was a time dark men were ridiculed. But I mean, and we believed that we were not good enough.
Sure.
And now I'm sharing my issues on it. And say, you know what? Mara, wait a minute. I'm the darker the berry, the sweeter. You know?
The darker the berry, the sweeter. Yeah. But you could have a different perspective, dude, where I come to and I say, you won't be in radio. And you're like, let me show you.
Yeah.
So you're then taking these negative words that are people saying about you and saying, I'll actually show you. So I made that decision. No matter, even the richest man can come and tell me that you are poor. That's just their view and their opinion. I know what I am. And so I live it out.
So you've gone back to the source, to yourself, and said, this is me.
This is me. This is me. This is what God says about me. So I'm going to believe what God says about me.
I like that you touch on your spirituality. I just wanted to expand a bit. How important is that in breaking barriers and getting to success? Because actually, I'm going to touch that also a little after this in terms of finances.
Yeah, for me, I say the word is like my GPS, the word of God. Without the word of God, I'm literally nothing.
Amen, brother.
It's my GPS because it guides me. And someone will say, but Spoo, where do you get the confidence to do what you do? Where do you get the confidence to stand up and speak? It's because I read the word. And not only do I read the word, I live by the word. Mm-hmm. And I believe the word. Impression without expression could lead to depression. To know... impression without expression could lead to depression. Impression you know, expression you don't want to express. Mark 9:23, anything is possible for he who believes. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to make you grow and to make you prosper, to give you hope in the future. Philippians 4:19, he will supply all your needs. So why do I need to worry? For what?
Hey, and that was the third thing.
Yeah.
And Tato laughs.
What's the fifth barrier?
What's the fifth barrier?
The other two barriers. So there are three. Now I need to give you
you're
one.
Talking about, yeah, you're talking about the last one was the one. The last you just mentioned was the people.
The people, victims of...
people's opinion.
People's opinion. So I'll touch on one. Mm-hmm. And if you want the other one, then you must get the book.
Okay.
This is being too comfortable.
Hey!
The comfort zone.
And Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, there is a zone which everyone speaks about, literally everyone. And people laugh about it, and some of us are in it.
Mm.
They call it the what? The friend zone. Or the family zone. But have you seen a meme a meme or a meme, whatever people call it, about the comfort zone?
No.
Why? Because so many people are in it. So you make memes about things that you're not in. But now when it comes to the comfort zone, that's it. That's it. So not so many people are just so comfortable, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over again. And you've got so much potential. And my mentor, Dr. John Tibani, says, with this potential, you express it and you are amazed, you suppress it and you are ashamed.
I think you just touched it. So when you talk about Dr. John Tibani, I actually wanted you to talk about this. I know you also like Les Brown, and he also says things about having people to believe in you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to ride on that until you believe
in yourself.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a friend of mine, Axon Mwawi, says that you have to make sure that you surround yourself with people who are like APSA, because these are people who are with you today, tomorrow, together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surround yourself with people who are like FNB, because these are people who ask, how can I help you? And people who ask, how can I help you, are like NetBank. They make things happen. Yeah. And people who make things happen are like Standard Bank. They keep moving you forward. So when it comes to the people that you surround yourself with, it's either you promote, you demote, or you delete.
Let's repeat that. We promote.
You demote.
Demote.
Or you delete.
I get it. It's D-Day. It's the 28th.
Who do I promote? Who do I delete? Quick one.
We need to delete people in our lives.
Who?
You promote those who believe in you. You promote those who are there for you when things are tough. You promote those who want the best for you. You demote those who don't bring that vibe, who don't bring that energy.
Who suck life out of us.
There are people that you sit with and you're like, my goodness.
What was I doing with them?
And you delete just those who don't bring any value into your life. And there are people who just take. You just need to
delete.
Just go on your phone and just delete.
I mean, I can get about blocker go WhatsApp. It's 2 minutes.
No, don't block them. Just delete them.
Good. We are blocking you. Look at this. For the hour 5, and it is Radio Veritas 576 AM, that station that gives you
the good music and good news for a change.
And we change in gear with
Yena, the emulator, and
myself, Umfundiso Dube.
Do not touch the dial.